was amazed at their lack of faith. Oh, kind of a frightening thought, huh, of facing Jesus and having that be the result. And we will get to the gospel in a few minutes. I really want to focus my comments tonight on the second reading, and particularly in the second reading, the line that St. Paul spoke about the thorn in his flesh. So what is a thorn in the flesh anyway? That it is one of those expressions that has made it into our everyday language. It's one of those biblical ideas that we say, we talk about, like an irritating neighbor with a barking dog can be a thorn in your flesh. Or maybe a boss that's unfair, or an in-law that you struggle with, or maybe even a child, someone that's sued you, or you're in a lawsuit with, all of these things. Some difficult personal weakness that you experience, perhaps procrastination, or an addictive habit, or some unforgiveness. Certainly, addiction or alcoholism, drug abuse is always a thorn for the family and for the addict too, a thorn in the flesh. Maybe it's your back pain. Maybe it's your cancer. Maybe it's failing eyesight or depression or dealing with a stroke or something along those lines. All of these thorns in the flesh. What was St. Paul's thorn in the flesh that he spoke about? We really don't know exactly what he was speaking about. He was somewhat vague. But you know, Paul wrote 14 letters. And in these 14 letters, we all can kind of get to know Paul, get to know his life circumstances, get to know about his life. And we know, if you read carefully, that he had some very serious eye ailments, even to the point of blindness for a time. So was his blindness his thorn in the flesh? He was also misunderstood. He was misunderstood by the people that should have been his friends. He was misunderstood by the very people that he evangelized and taught and established their churches. People turned on him and he was persecuted and even imprisoned for a time. That could have been the thorn in his flesh. Or maybe he had some temptation, some weakness that he had to face over and over again. We don't know. But what we do know is that he had a thorn in the flesh and that he prayed, it says, 3 times that God would relieve him of this thorn. And when I think Paul prayed 3 times, it wasn't like he prayed 3 Hail Marys, you know? I think Paul probably really dove in and prayed and fasted and like a novena, some serious prayer that God would relieve him of this. But God did not relieve him of his thorn in the flesh. It remained. Now we all have a thorn in the flesh, or maybe two, or they come and go in our lives. The question is, what is our response to the thorn in our flesh? How do we react to that difficulty that comes to us? When do thorns first appear in the Bible? Do you know when it is? A little biblical trivia for you. The first time the thorn shows up in the Bible, it's right in the very beginning, the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, Adam's job was to till the garden. He had a job, and so he's going to work, and it was easy work. But after the sin, what happened? The earth gave forth thorns and thistles. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall the ground bear for you. So there are those thorns growing out of the ground, the result of sin. Let's look at the second reading again. Paul says, that I, Paul, might not become too elated. How might we say that today? That I might not get too full of myself, okay? Paul says, that I might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelation. See, God gave Paul this incredible gift. He brought him up into heaven, showed him heavenly things. And Paul said, things so wonderful, I can't even speak them beyond the capacity for him to speak about. And all of this was revealed to him. And he says, all this was given to me, and I'm tempted to become too elated, too full of myself. So what was God's remedy? That he gave me a thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from becoming too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Let that sink in. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. See, when we fight the spiritual battle, if we think we're going to fight the spiritual battle on our own strength, we are going to crash and burn. It is that simple. And so Paul would have been tempted to think he could do this on his own. And so God made it very clear to him, you can't do it on your own. Only by depending on me will you be strong enough to fight the spiritual battle that you will find yourself in. When commenting on this passage of sacred scripture, St. Thomas Aquinas, who was an incredible theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas said, sometimes God will allow a certain kind of evil in our life to draw out a greater good. For example, in order to protect a person from pride, which is the root of so many sins, God will allow a person to be humbled by an illness or a defect or even a sin, such that the person who is humbled will recognize that he cannot stand firm in the spiritual battle simply by himself, but he needs the grace of God. Another way of saying this is, everything works for the good for those who love God. Have you ever heard that? That's right out of the Bible too. That's in Paul's letter to the Romans. So what is Paul's response to his thorn in the flesh? I boast of my weakness in order that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insult, with hardship, with persecution, with constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And let me tell you something. Paul was an incredible man of incredible strength and endurance and influence. Over and over again, he had to go into the most difficult of circumstances and face incredible personal attack, physically and emotionally. But by God's strength, in his weakness, he depended on the strength of God, who said, my grace is sufficient for you. You hear God say that to you? Anybody here ever experienced a thorn in their flesh? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Some time ago, I had a young lady come speak to me. She was going through a spiritual awakening. As she was going through this spiritual awakening, she came to express to me how sad she was with her shallow judgmentalism. She had begun to see just how shallow she was emotionally, how vain and proud she was, and how judgmental she was. Now, this young lady, she had won the genetic lottery. She was as beautiful as you could be. She had every physical gift that anybody could ask for. And with these gifts, she allowed herself to kind of look down on other people in her vanity, in her pride, in her giftedness. But now she was awakened to this reality about herself. And she really didn't like that person. And she wanted to identify more with and be more sympathetic to those who were physically handicapped, those who were not as beautiful, not as intelligent. but she found herself very much in need of God's mercy. She had become too elated, and now, in some respects, this sense of her own arrogance that she was aware of and somewhat ashamed of became, in one way, a thorn in her flesh, trying to bring her back down. So God gave her the gift of her beauty, and then God, by his grace, awakened her to her shallowness and her vanity, and now she was in the midst of struggling to be open and kind and generous and thoughtful and less judgmental. I hope that she heard the words of Jesus to her: "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. What is your thorn? What are you struggling with? What is it that God has given to you to keep you from maybe becoming too elated? And do you use that to turn to God, seeking his grace? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." You know, grace is one of the most important concepts in all of the Bible. Grace is one of the most important concepts in all of sacred scripture. We are saved by grace. Grace is God's love. Grace is God's life. God pours his grace into us, and sometimes, you know what he uses to pour it into us? Thorns, okay? The thorns and thistles of our lives. Now, Jesus, in the gospel, you know, he experienced thorns too. How did our Lord experience thorns? What do you remember about Jesus encountering thorns? The most obvious answer is he wore them on his forehead, right? The very thorns that came out of the ground as the result of Adam's sin are put on Jesus' head as his crown. So he is crowned with these sins, and so he wore those. But that was not the only time our Lord experienced thorns in his life. In the gospel today, he returned to his hometown. And when he returned to his hometown, at first they were amazed. And then very quickly they thought, "Who is this guy?" And they rejected him. What was his response to that rejection? Did he get mad and call down fire? No, he still tried to heal people. He was still there trying to heal them. And he was amazed at their what? Their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. You know, Jesus is the source of our grace. Jesus is the source of God's favor. Jesus is there in the midst of those people in Nazareth. He is here in our midst to help us with our crosses, to help us with our thorns, that our thorns may be a means of grace and our grace may bring us faith. So I have a question for you. Have you received your gift of faith? You know, God has a gift of faith for you. Have you received that gift of faith? You know, sometimes it's wrapped up in a thorn. Sometimes it comes in the strangest of packages. But God says to St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." God says to you and to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." So today, in the midst of the thorns of our lives, in the midst of the challenges that we face, we depend on the grace of God. Let the grace of God in you. And let the grace of God bring the gift of faith, and let the healing power of Jesus bring healing to you. I want to contrast the women or the people of Nazareth with last week's gospel. Remember the woman last week? The woman, she wasn't good enough to touch Jesus, was she? She just reached out to touch his clothes, and she touched his clothes, and that act of faith brought her healing, and that grace was sufficient. So today, Don't run away from your thorns. Yeah, pray that God would remove them. But if he doesn't remove them, he might have something better in store for you. So through grace, through our thorns comes our desire for grace, and through our grace is faith, and faith is the healing power of God. My grace is sufficient for you.